Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome again to another great, exciting week of the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are here to bring you the exciting news of the world of sports, specifically the New York Giants, the New York Jets, and any and everything that's happening that's newsworthy in the world of sports and anything else that's on our mind. And BT, we got a lot to talk about with our New York teams. Both are coming off two great wins. No one expected them to beat the teams that they were playing. And they probably resurrected two organizations, two quarterbacks that people didn't even think very highly of. First is Tommy DeVito. Everybody is thinking he's the next coming of Tom Brady. They only have one thing in common. Their first name can be abbreviated Tom. That's about it. And then you have the backstory of Tommy DeVito's agent. I mean, he told me he spoke about the story about the fedora, but he looked nothing like Tom Landry when he wore his fedora. And that's something else we need to talk about. But first, let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the Giants. Let's talk about how impressed you are with their performance against the Green Bay Packers last week.
But two things I was looking going in. Number one, I was worried about Love, the quarterback, because he had looked good the last couple games and seems to have gotten his groove on. And number two, the Giants' defense. And Kayvon Thibodeau, he he's in double figures in sacks. I think he's got 12. He's slowly coming around to be one of the better defensive ends in the game. And I think their defense is stepping up with Dexter Lawrence. Dante, their number one draft choice, really showed something. Their young defensive backs, they're playing hard. Even if a quarterback completes a pass, the defensive back is right there with him. The quarterback has got to throw it perfectly. So I thought the Giants' defense played well and let them kind of, you know, be in the game by half and then make an adjustment in the second half. And I think the rest is history. But I was really impressed because I still like the teaching of the Giants by their defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators, and they're still playing hard. And you got to give them credit because a lot of people think the Giants are out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. When you look at the defensive side of the ball, I think that it's good that they're getting a lot of experience. You got a young outside of Adoree Jackson, you got all young guys in that defensive backfield. So it's good that they're getting a lot of experience back there. Dante Binks is actually playing well. He's improving. He's learning on the job, which can only benefit him and the Giants defense. I think Wink Martindale is putting them in good position, a good enough position to win. It's good that Dexter Lawrence is back. He solidifies that defensive line. He actually allows them to control the run game, which is always helpful. But from a defensive standpoint, Love isn't like, I mean, he's done well the last couple of weeks, but he's still a young quarterback with not a lot of experience, and which he showed a little bit of that, not making a couple of passes that he should have made. And so by any means, they haven't turned the corner. They've just played a couple of teams that aren't on the upper echelon of teams. And so I don't want to get too carried away from a defensive standpoint that they've arrived. They still have work to do. They still have to upgrade in certain positions. I kind of want to get your thought because they made a statement about Okereke. I mean, he's played solid, but in my perspective, And from my perspective, I mean, he's a solid piece. I don't think he's an all-pro piece, but he's a solid piece. Do you see something different? And maybe I haven't paid attention enough to see how if Okereke is that much of a difference maker.
Well, see, I think that he has potential. And as Coach told me years ago, if you can do it one time, you can do it two times. I don't know if that's the truth, but every once in a while, he shows excellent quickness to the ball. He gets off his blockers quickly, and he's always around the football. I think he's still learning the game a little bit more, you know, because once he gets the position where he knows what's going on, he can allow his athleticism to kind of flourish. So I think he's still learning the game. And one question I got for you, Charles, Coach Dabo and Coach Wick always arguing. What are they arguing about?
Yeah, I know. And a story came out. Wink Martindale said, I don't want to go anywhere else but the Giants. I think that combination of Wink Martindale and Brian Daboll, I think it's the stress of the season. I think Brian Daboll feels the stress that the offense hasn't been able to produce lately. And I think that plays a lot into it, is that the burden of the success of the Giants is dependent upon how good the defense is, not how good the offense can be. They already assume that the offense isn't good enough to win games. So in order for them to stay in games, it's going to be dependent upon that defense to keep them in games and to win games ugly. And if they can't do that, they don't have a success. And that's why you see a lot of the, I think, infighting is because Wink Martindale is like, I'm doing all of this with not great talent, but I'm making it work. Why can't you do the same thing with on the offensive side of the ball? And I think that's where the tension comes in. As far as the offensive side of the ball goes, I have a couple of bones to pick with a couple of players on the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley. We've said that he is supposed to be the centerpiece of this offense. And for some reason, he's a Hall of Fame caliber running back. He should be a Hall of Fame caliber running back. The skills that he's possessed and the skills that he's shown, he should be a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. And for me, I am not getting it. Right now, when you have a third string quarterback, your receivers are young, your offensive line needs the support. And the way you've been playing over the last few weeks, I'm not seeing the type of running back that I grew up seeing. I'm not seeing a Barry Sanders. I'm not seeing those guys like Walter Payton. I'm not seeing John Riggins. I'm not seeing those, you know, I'm not even seeing Marshall Faulk. You know what I'm saying? I'm not seeing that type of – and if you're looking at old school running backs that are Hall of Famers that are that type of caliber, that's what I expect from Saquon Barkley, and I'm seeing it. Do you agree with me or not?
I'm not agreeing with anything you say about a running back, Charles Wick. You ain't like, we ain't never played running back. You played your whole life, and you know for sure that if offensive line is not opening up stuff, you got to create your stuff. I think he carried the ball 8 times in the first half for 18 yards, averaging less than 2 yards a carry. And I look up in there, and he's got to sometimes do a move before he gets to the line of scrimmage. That means the defensive line has gotten penetration. But in the second half, he had a couple good bursts through the line. And if he gets any kind of daylight, there's not many running backs in the league right now that are as good as he is. I felt bad because the fumble that he did, which almost cost the Giants the game, he did it in the open field. And he kind of got his feet and body tangled up. It's not like him to fumble. I think they talked about his third fumble in over 1,200 attempts. So I just think that he still is a great running back. I think he still has that quick burst. I think he can take it to the house anytime. And I just think that you're not playing with one of the great offensive lines in the NFL. And I have to, like I said, he keeps running up in there. And I could see if he was tiptoeing. You know, my dad used to say, after you get hit a couple times, you start tiptoeing. He's not doing that. And so I just think, you know, they're not using him enough. 8 times in the first half. And when you got a young quarterback, like you said, you got to give it to the man about 15 times each half, especially in these situations.
But don't you agree that, like, when the balance, he stumbles a lot now. right? And when you're looking at running backs, and that's what he is. He has great balance. You know, when you look at – and maybe I think so highly of him because I think he should be the best thing out there. He's better than – if pound for pound, he should be better than Christian McCaffrey, right? I think he's a better running back than he has the same skills as Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey is probably put in a better situation because of the team that he's on. But from a skill standpoint, I don't maybe his headspace isn't right, but I don't think he is displaying the characteristics of the type of running back I think he should be.
Now I see what you're saying, but I'm gonna go back to Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey gets the ball the first play of the game and goes 72 yards, not getting touched by anybody but the safety when he's way down there. Then you know yourself as a former running back, if you can get to the safety, you got at least 10, 15 yards. And I saw McCaffrey do that. His offensive line for San Francisco may be one of the best two in all of football. So that's why I can't compare him, because if Saquon had that kind of offensive line, it'd be a big old difference. It's almost like Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith back in the day. Emmitt Smith got big old holes to run through, and Barry Sanders had to do a move, you know, by the quarterback position. So that's why I look at it, because Saquon is – you watch him in the second half. He was zipping and sliding through the line, you know, setting up his blocks. I thought he did pretty good for the limited amount of touches he had. But I just felt bad for him on that fumble because, you know, he was trying to slow down to stay in bounds. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he fumbled the ball. But like I said, I still like him. I still think the Giants can't win without him. And he scored two touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I like I said, I'm not taking anything away from Saquon. I think he should be the best. He is, or arguably is, the best running back in the NFL and should be paid accordingly. I'm just saying, it just still feels to me that he's not what I picture him to be. And maybe I have higher expectations than most, but he is that legitimate. He is a legitimate threat when he has the ball in his hands. And maybe it's the offensive scheme. You know, maybe it's the play calling. Maybe it's the offensive line scheme and the blocking schemes in front of him. But he's not showing me the excitement that I know he can bring to a game.
No, I agree with that. But sometimes, you know, you're inhibited by your own teammates and your own success in the past. But I want to switch it over to Tommy DeVito, because, you know, his agent and his mom was up there, and they gave it a little Italian feeling by putting your hands together. And every time I go, you know, I love Italian food. I've been to probably over 200 Italian restaurants in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. And sometimes when the food is good, the chef, he'll do his hands like that. And I saw the whole DeVito family doing that. And what do you think about them having that kind of success and really supporting their son?
I think it's a great story. Every outlet, every national outlet, every local outlet is picking up on the Tommy DeVito story. I think everybody wants the next Tom Brady story. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the only two things that Tommy DeVito right now have in common with Tom Brady is the name. and so when you look at DeVito's success, he's, you know, I think the reason why he's having a lot more success is because he's running the ball. They're not spy. They don't have a spy. So he's able to move out of the pocket, get yardage, you know, when nothing is out there. He's running now, as opposed to the first couple of games. He just sat back in the pocket and took hits. Now he's moving. He's a little bit more mobile. He's running outside the pocket. They're actually designing plays for him to run the ball. So I think they're giving him a better opportunity, a better chance to have success. Now, mind you, these next couple of weeks will show a lot more whether he is legit, because obviously they play the Eagles two times. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, they're still in the playoff hunt. They're one game out of a playoff spot. So, I mean, it would be a great story if they win these next four games, which no one believes that they'll win the next four games. But if they win the next four games, he should be talked about as The question should come up during the offseason. Is it Tommy DeVito or is it Daniel Jones? Do you agree with that?
Well, see, as I look at it, and we always talked about the quarterback making adjustments themselves by getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds or 2 points something. What I liked about him is that now you see in the NFL a little bit different than when we were playing. When the middle opens up and they're playing man coverage, the quarterback has got to step up in there. And then if he's got a big lane, he can take off. And that's what I saw DeVito do on Sunday, on Monday, because when he saw a hole, he wasn't hesitant about it. And he did that Danny Jones look a couple of times. He's got more quickness running the ball. He looked better running the ball on Monday than I've ever seen him look. So the confidence he's getting, we're just going to have to see. But each and every game, he's getting better. And if he continues to do that, the Giants may have to think about him. But I don't know yet if they're going to get rid of Danny Jones at $40 million, which is guaranteed next week.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a great arm. I don't think – he hasn't shown that he has a very strong arm. I don't know if you've seen something that I haven't. It doesn't look like he has a very strong arm. He has a great touch to the ball. He's able to place the ball in certain situations. I love the fact that he has that moxie. He has that it factor. Like, he has that confidence. He has that Baker Mayfield type of walk or confidence that, hey, I may be the worst quarterback out here, but you won't believe that I believe that I'm the best quarterback out here. And I think you need that in order to have the type of success that he's having. The one issue I take into consideration is his agent wearing all black with the door on the sideline. I'm like, come on, dude, you're in New Jersey. You know this. You know the stereotype with the mob being from New Jersey. I mean, the dude is a national sensation, and you want to be pictured on national TV, a national televised game, wearing a black suit and a fedora.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
It doesn't jive. I just think it's a bad look, not only for the image that Tommy DeVito wants, but what the league wants. You know, the league always talking about image. Now, is this the type of image you want somebody talking on the phone with a black pinstripe suit and mock neck that's typical of what you would figure you would look? You know, what you tell me, how should I take this picture?
Well, I'm telling you, it's pretty deep as it is. But anyway, keep that thought, okay, CW, because we come back on the other side. We're going to talk about the Jets and Zach Wilson, how much they've improved. Is he legitimate? Is Zach Wilson show that he can still play in the NFL? Keep it where it is. We'll be right back with more on the Expressway after these messages.
And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And you're looking at us, watching us live on alumnimedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. live on alumnimedia.com. You can also check out any of our other football brethren on Alumni Media. Check out their podcast. They're talking about anything and everything, not only the world of sports, but finance, real estate, life, anything, health. Check us out on alumnimedia.com each and every week. You can also check us out on YouTube every Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. if you missed our show live on alumnimedia.com. Hey, now, BT, I told you it was the week of the New York quarterback. Zach Wilson has just resurrected his career. They're going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They're going to cut Aaron Rodgers because Zach Wilson is the quarterback of the future. He showed us that he is the man. He is legit. After a week of turmoil, after a week of saying that he didn't love football anymore, all of a sudden he found the well of the water of life that gave him a new breath that said he is the best quarterback in the NFL. What do you think about all the scuttlebutt about Zach Wilson and his performance last week?
Yeah, but it's in sports, Charles. It's all about when you do stuff. You know, like just give you an example. Tiger Woods is at the Masters. He has some kind of 16-foot putt that goes left and then right and then goes in. The nation sees it. Me and you at the golf court, you get a hole in one. There's nobody there. So we just explained it to our friends. It's the same way with him. He didn't do anything when we was expected, when the team was on the line. They still got a chance for the playoffs, but he himself is responsible for at least three losses because of his lack of keeping the ball in play, because he has turnovers at the weirdest times. He had no pressure on him for Sunday's game. Zero pressure. I mean, everybody was talking about the Jets out of the playoffs. They're saying whether Aaron will come back because he has no reason to come back, no incentive, because there's no playoff to run for. So I just think that he has not been able to do it when you need it the most, when the clutch comes up, because, you know, the Jets have the kind of team where they can run the ball and be effective. But then on those third down situations or key situations, we need the quarterback to step up. He doesn't do that. But according to what I saw on Sunday, he did look better. But we're going to have to see, because I just don't think he can do that. And it has already shown that he can't be consistent.
Yeah, I'm just excited that Jet defense is legit.
They are legit.
And I think if it wasn't for the Jet defense, I think Rob Saleh's job would have been he would have probably been long gone out of here. But that Jet defense is outstanding. They had a great game. They kept them in the game, and I think it helped propel Zach Wilson to having such the type of game that he had. He produced on the field for a change. He made big plays. He was able to move around in the pocket. He didn't sit in the pocket and take the sack when he could move. So you got to be excited about a lot of the things. And like you said, maybe it was because he didn't have pressure. Maybe it was because all of the things people were saying to him, he finally got upset and said, "I'm gonna prove to you that I can play this game, and I don't care what happens." And so maybe he put too much pressure on him previously, and this week, given all the things that were going on, he didn't have a lot of pressure on him. He didn't have anything. He seemed like he played a lot more freer than in the past, and I think that was one of the reasons why. I love Breece Hall. I love the fact that, think about this, Garrett Wilson was targeted a whole bunch last week. I think he's learning. Like, look, this is my guy. This is who that's going to save me when I'm in trouble. I know where he's going to be. I'm going to look away. If my first option isn't open, I'm always go back to my main option. And I think he was his safety blanket. And fortunately, he's now learning that when you have a stud receiver like Garrett Wilson, that is what most quarterbacks do. They go to their safety blanket when all else fails. And I think he's doing that. And I think that's another thing that led to the type of success he had last week.
And see, I like that, because I've always thought you got the number one receiver, whomever it is, whether it's Garrett Wilson or whatever, you know and have confidence where they're going to be. That's how you can look off your receiver, look way to the left, and get the safety moving over to the left, and you throw back to the right, because you know your receiver is going to be open because he's shown you consistency in practice and the games. I think that's the first time I've seen him do it on a consistent level, but I still think he's got to take what the defense gives him. Sometimes he doesn't see the dump offs. Like, I always see the tight end can be your best friend and the running back can be your best friend, especially when you're getting rushed up the middle. Now, because Houston came into the game, I hadn't won so many in a row, and their defense is playing well. So I give the Jets a lot of credit for beating a warm team, a hot team that had a hot quarterback. But now as we come down, it's going to step up in pressure. Now we're going to see what happens. This week they play the Dolphins, I believe, and they're going to have to step up because Miami, they can put points on the board in a minute.
Yeah, but Miami isn't the same team as they were when a couple of weeks ago. Tyreek Hill has been hurt on and off. And it seems like he's only playing on certain plays. He's not playing as many plays as he's been playing at the beginning of the season because of probably a lot of those injuries. And Tua hasn't looked the same. I think Tua is, now that he had all of those concussions, he doesn't run the ball. He's not very mobile, and he doesn't want to run the ball because he does. I don't think he wants to take the hits that he took last year, and he doesn't want his career to be in jeopardy, because I think someone told him that if you take any more hits like you took the previous year, you may never be able to play football again. And I think he's playing like a quarterback that's looking out for his career as opposed to playing reckless like he did a couple of years ago.
That's a great point, Charles, because I don't think you could win the Super Bowl without a quarterback that move around. And don't get me wrong, he's got lateral movement, but he won't take off and run, as you said. And I was watching last week's game where he could have, and they had the lead the whole game. They had a third and short, and I was expecting, any other situation where they could run a quarterback draw. But they didn't do it. They looked for him to throw the ball, and they weren't able to succeed, and they lost the game. I think other teams look at film, just like everyone does, and they're going to find solutions to what he's done. Without Hill, he's not even the same quarterback. Now, Hill has been an outstanding feature. I mean, almost got 1,500 some odd yards within a few yards, breaking the all-time record, which would be the first receiver to get 2,000. But I don't know if he can do that, because I watched the other game the other day. They were double-teaming him. They were put in a situation where he had never been in. And it's hard to beat a double team. And sometimes, almost receivers almost quit sometimes when they're double teamed just because they got two people on them. But if he continues to work, we'll see. But I don't see Tua stepping his game up, and he has to do it if the Dolphins want to come out of the East.
Yeah, I totally agree. When you look at their offense is dynamic. I still think Mostert has overperformed. He's a good running back, but I don't think he's a great running back. But their receivers, Waddle and Hill, when both of them are on the field together, I think because Tyreek Hill commands a lot of presence, a lot of attention, it opens up Waddle, which is a good to great receiver and adds another dimension to that team. But when you take Tyreek Hill out of that offense, they become a different offense. And this will be a great test for the Jets, especially after the first meeting that they had where they got killed by the Dolphins. The first time, I'm curious to see how they play against them this time. I think this is going to be a great test for them. It'll actually prove to us if Zach Wilson is the real deal. Remember, I said last week when we were going through the games that I was a little nervous about this game for Miami because of the Tennessee's offense and the way they run the football. It reared its ugly head at the end of the game. I still don't believe that Miami's defense is worthy enough of being that top echelon Super Bowl contending team that you need in order to be considered a Super Bowl champion.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
I totally agree with that because, I think you have to play some type of defense, either take the run away or take the pass. And I get confused on what the Dolphins are doing at times because I think their coach is totally offensive-minded. It's really weird how many offensive-minded coaches don't care about the defense. And I think that – and that's the new thing in the NFL is the offensive coordinators, because the defensive coordinators are the ones who are in trouble. You see the Todd Bowles and the guys who are on the defensive side, they're in trouble because they're not putting up points for the offense. So it's going to be interesting to see because I think this game – is going to show you a lot. I know there's going to be pressure on Zach Wilson. What does he do under pressure? I think he's beginning to understand that you can always, have somebody in the flat or somebody a tight end or something you can throw the ball to. So I think if he keeps that mentality, and I do believe, Charles, that Aaron Rodgers is instrumental in helping Zach Wilson getting better because he's in his ear. He, when he goes to the bench, he's showing him stuff. And I think that's what a quarterback should be able to do his first year in the NFL, sit on the bench and watch and wait. And then when you get your turn, hopefully utilize what you got.
And I think a game like this is going to come down to how well the coordinators position their players to have success. Now, if they don't have, if the Jets don't have success this week against the Miami Dolphins, you got to look at the offensive coordinator. We cannot not talk about Nathaniel Hackett and the job that he's doing on that offensive side of the ball. You know what the limitations of your offense and your talent is, and you know the weaknesses of the Miami Dolphins defense. Now you need to figure out a way to exploit the weaknesses of the defense and accentuate your strengths of your offense. And you have a lot of them. You have good receivers and you have a good running back. You don't want, and they have a good pass rush. So you don't have a great offensive line to kind of drop back for 7 yards and take a bunch of deep shots. So you got to develop a game plan that doesn't let Zach Wilson hold on the ball for 5 seconds and wait for guys to get open. Keep getting the ball off quick, being decisive, and run the football. Pound the football, because I still don't believe that Miami's defense, even though they've had a good year, is good enough to hold up against a running game like the Jets have in Breece Hall.
Well, if they can get things going in the very beginning, I can see Darren Cook and Breece Hall really getting off this game, because the offensive line, their best weapon is to be able to run the ball. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to worry about holding. You just go out and man on man. So I'm looking forward to see what they do. But I think that they can run the ball, but I think that they got to take chances also, because teams have beaten the Dolphins with the deep ball. And I'm just anxious to see what kind of offense he comes up with to go against the Dolphin defense, because you're going to have to put points on the board to beat the Dolphins, because they're going to put points on the board. So it's going to be interesting to see like the little chess game that they play. But the Jets have to run the ball, average 4 yards a carry, in order for the play action to work.
Absolutely. And it's exciting to have two New York teams, as bad as they played this entire season, both are in a playoff hunt. And we'll talk about that when we return with the Expressway with BT Express and Charles Show Me the Way. We will be back in a moment to talk about the playoffs. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Teller. And we've just finished two quarters talking about the New York Giants and New York Jets and their playoff aspirations. Yes, they still have playoff aspirations. We'll get into that during this segment. And as we talk about the playoff picture, BT, in the NFC, what surprises you the most? The downfall or the slide of the Philadelphia Eagles or the ascension of the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, see, I'm not surprised by Philadelphia because, you know, they're 10-3 and they've won some close games. And they haven't, as their quarterback says, they haven't played as well as they can. I'm shocked by the Cowboys because they're putting up points on offense every single game. And they're really showing me that they're a very good football team. The bad thing is that I think the 49ers have the most complete team in football, offensively and defensively. I don't know if you can stop them, but needle with the receivers and McCaffrey and the way that the game is called, I don't think you can stop them. And Birdie, I'm telling you, I'm shocked that he's doing well at quarterback, but he's shown to be consistent. He puts the ball exactly where he says he is. He's very accurate. So I think the Eagles – the Cowboys and the 49ers. I don't know about the Detroit Lions yet, so I'm going to put them in as my possible fourth team. The Rams are coming on strong. They're playing better every week.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
So I just think it's going to be interesting for everybody. Even the Falcons at 6-6 still have a chance. So as we come down the stretch, it's going to be interesting to see who comes out of the NFC.
Yeah, when I look at the NFC picture, my most disappointing team is the Lions because it seems like they lack the enthusiasm or the excitement that they had at the beginning of the season. I don't know if you see the same thing, but it's not that they don't have the talent. They played more energetic or energized at the beginning of the season, and towards the back end of the season, they just don't look as exciting. They don't look as really energized to go out and play. Do you see the same thing with the Lions?
Yeah, I do, and I don't know what it is either, because I thought that if you watch them play the last 2 years, they seem like they play hard for Coach Campbell. Mm-hmm. And they're busting their behind, they're flying around. Last couple games, they haven't done that. They got beat pretty badly a couple weeks before, and I thought, this is not the same team. And then you see them come back home, they play a little better, and then last week they didn't come through at all. So I'm going to have to see as you come down the stretch, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Detroit's getting worse.
And do you think that's a product of just being a young team and Dan Campbell's going to just have to find a way to motivate those guys, to get them to understand that this is the most important part of the year, especially if you want to be considered as a true playoff contender?
Yeah, but see, my thing is this, Charles. During the course of a season, a coach has to know when to put his pulse on a team. If a team looks tired, you got to ease up on them. If they look like they need a little bit more, you got to give them a little bit more. I just think that Campbell has worked them guys really hard. He's done a Belichick on them, but they've been in full pads more than other teams. That's why I think the coach has got to be able to be the one to adjust whatever schedule he has to make sure the guys have their legs under them.
Yeah, so this is going to be a good test for Dan Campbell, second year head coach, first time. And so it's going to be a good test to see how he gets them back on track. When you look at the rest of the back end of the playoff picture, obviously the Vikings and Packers are in there. Packers have a tough schedule coming up. They're playing some tough games. The Seahawks are playing a tough game. The team that, and you mentioned them, the team that I'm most surprised at are the Rams. They're a young team. They're doing, Matt Stafford is still carrying that team, doing a great job. Cooper Kupp is leading that wide receiver core, still making big plays, but they're doing it with a youth movement, not an old man movement, not a veteran present, not an old all veteran team movement. And people better be worried about the Rams because they have a chance of doing some damage in the playoffs.
I totally agree with you because as I watch them, they're playing good every game. They got, they're challenging people. They're throwing the ball deep. I just think they got great receivers. The quarterback is good. Defense is beginning to come up a little bit too. And I think that Sean McVay has shown that he is a legitimate coach. For him to go down like he did after the Super Bowl victory and then bring his team back up and start playing good ball, and they have a chance to do it. The only problem is, like I said, they're 6-6, and they got to step up to people who are already 9-3 and 10-3. So it's going to be a tough situation. So it depends on what happens at the end of the season. If Philadelphia or Dallas has to rest because they've already clinched a spot, that would help them tremendously to be able to get in the playoffs. But unless that happens, I don't think they can get up to 10 wins.
The great thing about this year in the playoff picture, you have six teams all within one game of a playoff spot. And that's including the Bears and the Giants. When we start at probably midway point of the year, eight games in, everybody was saying Eberflus was going to be fired by the Chicago Bears, but Justin Fields was the worst mistake that the Chicago Bears ever made. And all of a sudden, he's putting up 30 points a week now, last 3 weeks. What's the big difference with Chicago and what's going on with the Bears?
I think the confidence level of their quarterback has stepped up because I watched him the first game of the season. He looked terrible. And I thought they're going to get rid of him. And since Chicago has I think they're going to be either one or two out of the moving up because they're winning. They thought about getting a quarterback and trading him. So I just think that he's beginning to grasp what's going on. He's taking what the defense gives him. He can throw the long ball. He's got great speed when he's out there. I think he runs a 4-4. And so I think that that might help them to propel. And if they don't have to get a quarterback, they can find some other position to help their whole team. So that's what I'm looking for in the Bears because they do have a youth movement going there. But and the coaches show me better, but you know, you still got enough talent where you should not be where you are.
Yeah, I totally agree. But it's exciting from an NFC perspective. It is exciting. The last 4 weeks are going to be crucial for mostly all the teams. And I think this is what the NFL schedule makers planned it this way. A lot of their teams are a lot of their games are within the division the last few weeks. So we'll kind of see who belongs and who doesn't in the last few weeks. Obviously, the Giants have two hard. They play the Saints this week. They need to win this game. They'll play in New Orleans, so it'll be exciting to see what Tommy DeVito does to see if because the Saints are playing for their playoff lives. Obviously, whoever wins NFC South is probably the only team that's going to make the playoffs from the NFC South. So they're playing for their playoff lives. So this will be a good test for the Giants. And then when you look at the Falcons is in the NFC South. It's a three-team race between the Saints, the Falcons, and the Bucks. And who are you putting your money on in the NFC South?
Well, I like the Saints. I don't like the Bucks because of Baker Mayfield. and the Falcons, I like them because of the Robinson, the Robinson running back from the University of Texas. I want everybody to know that. Running backs can be drafted in the first round and lead their team to victory. So I guess my choice would be either the Saints or the Falcons. And if they can do it, that's going to be interesting. But I don't think whoever wins that division will have a winning record. And I think that's kind of bad for the NFL.
Yeah, well, speaking of bad divisions for the NFL, consistently, when you look at the AFC side of the ball, consistently, the AFC South has always been horrible, right? Am I right? Like, someone from the AFC South always gets in with a below 500 record. It would either be the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, you name it. They always have issues, but when you talk about the AFC picture, I have to talk about before we start off about who's in, who's out, and the mix. What about those Baltimore Ravens?
Well, they're leading the division at 10-3, and they're playing well, Charles.
Did you see Lamar Jackson in that game?
Yes, I did.
And I'm telling you, that is not a championship caliber quarterback. He is going to cost them the game. He had passes that he couldn't make in overtime. And if it wasn't for the punt return, they probably would have lost that game because he wasn't doing anything to help them win. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's overpaid. And I think Justin Fields probably could be a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. And I know that's blasphemy, but that's what I see. I do not trust Lamar Jackson to help my team go to the Super Bowl.
That's a heck of a point you made because a lot of people think he could be the MVP. But I watch him late in games, and sometimes he's not accurate. He doesn't make good decisions. I think sometimes Baltimore has lost a lot of late games. I think that he hasn't been there to be an active part of it the last couple of years because he's been hurt. And he's got four games left to try to step it up. To see if they can bring Baltimore the best team in the league. If you think about it, they should do it because of the other talent they have on both sides of the ball. But as you say, Lamar Jackson, he doesn't make good decisions late in games. And this is where the quarterbacks earn that big money. The next four games, if he steps up, people are not going to say a word about the money. But if he starts losing again, then we're going to have to question where is it coming from.
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of confidence. Like you said, he lacks accuracy. Do you know they had a stat during the game last week? Is like they're dead last in points in the fourth quarter. Wow. And that's the quarterback.
Yep.
That is the quarterback. And so if I'm a Ravens fan, I would be nervous. They're going to have a bye week, and they're going to probably have to play a good team coming off of a bye week. And that they may be set up to lose coming out of the second week in the playoffs. Now, when you look at the Dolphins, I'm not – the Dolphins and the Chiefs, if you look at both of those teams, I'm always taking the Chiefs, even though the Dolphins are super dynamic. I worry about Tua. I worry about his ability to stay in the pocket and to be mobile now just because of the injury situation him. So I don't have a lot of confidence in the Dolphins, and I'm looking at the Chiefs as really the team to beat in the AFC.
I have to agree with you because I've watched the Dolphins several times, and I think they've been very lucky or blessed, or however you want to say it, because they haven't been able to, you know, they haven't been able to do certain things, but they've beaten teams that they had to beat on paper. They have not beat the good teams. Every time they play somebody pretty good, they end up on the back end of it. Tua, I don't have confidence in because he's standing in the pocket. He's not trying to move around. They're not trying to move the pocket for him. I think the Chiefs have a chance. I like when Pat Mahomes gets upset on the field because it seems like he's going to step up the next game. Then the Giants' number one draft choice. For the Chiefs now, what's his name?
Sorry,
yeah. What's his name?
Kadarius Toney.
Kadarius Toney. When he was with the Giants, I thought something was wrong with him because, you know, he didn't have his head into the game. And that's why they traded the number one draft choice, probably because of lack of character. And then he gets there, and they say he's lined up four or five times offsides, and the only time they catch him is that last one. And I would kind of be mad at him because, you know, as a receiver, you have the advantage. I mean, the referee, you can talk to him. You can find out the other receivers, where they're lining up. And for you to do that, I think is really kind of unacceptable.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's one of the reasons why the Giants got rid of him. I don't think he was great for the locker room. And I don't think he's that dynamic of a player that he gets. You can give him a lot of grace as a team. I think you got to address that. Andy Reid has to address that issue. He could be a talented receiver, but I still don't think he's in the mold of a Deebo Samuels or Tyreek Hill. Yep. I think he's a Tyreek Hill like, or he's more of a Tyreek Hill like player than a Deebo Samuels type player. But he does have the ability to be that explosive. But I just don't. If he continues to make the mistakes that he's made that have cost the Chiefs games just this past year, I don't think he's worth the time. And you need to probably look for somebody in that same kind of ilk to replace him. And then what about the Jaguars? Obviously, you know, Trevor Lawrence had that high ankle sprain. They don't know if he's going to be back this week. I think if I'm the Jaguars, I would be very nervous that I may lose the position because they're only, you know, it's only one game between first and second and third because the Colts and the Texans are right on their heels.
Without their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, I don't think the Jaguars have a chance at all. I don't like the Steelers because they got no offense whatsoever, even though they got good defense. The Colts are playing average ball. The Browns, with Joe Flacco, I still can't believe they're winning games. The Texans are 7-5. Broncos are 6-6. The Bills possibly, you know, they're up to 7-6 now. They possibly could do something because they look good the last game. It's just that Josh Allen is not consistent at all. And when he's off, he's really off. And the Bengals still have a chance because they brought in a backup quarterback who seems to be able to, you know, do the job for them. So it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch because that's what you want from a NFL standpoint, everybody to be and have a chance to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, you got about 24 teams in the playoff hunt out of the 32 teams, which is amazing. Keeps the NFL exciting. You're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Schoenway. We will be back with you with much, much more. We'll take a look at some of these matchups this week and give you our predictions on who will win in NFL Week 14. We'll be right back in a moment. You can go right to the schedule. Because we got a lot everybody's playing this week, so you can skip the NFL the header page and go right to the games.
All right, Charles, you bring it back. I'll end it.
Okay. Oh, I beat you, Billy. I got 4 wins, so you're 2.
Okay.
I think this is the first week I beat you. So
it is the first week.
All right. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are in the best segment of the week, and that's our NFL Week 14 picks. Obviously, talking about last week, BT, this is the first time I beat you. I got 4 wins to your 2 wins. I finally started picking with my head instead of my heart, and I think I came through with flying colors for a change. So let's get right into it. We got the Chargers and the Raiders. Thursday night football, I could never go for the Chargers. So I'm going with AP. And speaking of AP, do you think the Raiders, even though they're playing with a young quarterback, do you think AP has a chance to keep that job?
Well, he's got to start doing something because offense hasn't been doing anything the last couple of weeks. He has a chance against the Chargers because the starting quarterback has surgery on his finger and he's out for the rest of the season. And I don't think they have a good team without him at all. So I'm going to go with you on the Raiders. We're both going with the Raiders. I want Aaron Pierce to get that job, but he can't stay on one side of the ball. He's got to have, he's a defensive-minded guy. His offense is the problem.
Yeah, next game is the Vikings and the Bengals. Joe Burrow, the Vikings, they're starting they're not starting Dobbs. They're starting the other quarterback. But Cincinnati has been playing well. The guy that came in for Joe Burrow has been lighting it up.
Yeah,
and they're playing in Cincinnati. They have a lot to play for. They are in the playoffs right now. They can't afford to lose. The Vikings are playing for a playoff spot as well. I'm going to go with the Bengals in this game.
I'm going to agree with you because I like their backup quarterback. He's cool, calm, and collective, and I think he gives them a great chance to win. And I think the Vikings can't do it without a quarterback.
Next game is the Steelers and the Colts. They're playing in Indianapolis. This is going to be a tough game for the Colts. I still think, even though the Colts have had a tough couple of weeks here, I'm going to go with the Colts just because I don't believe the Steelers have anything to offer.
I'm going to go with the Steelers because of that defense. And so if they can correct it on offense or not turn the ball over on offense, they got a chance, and I like Mike Tomlin. So you go with the Colts, I'm going to Steelers.
Next game is the Broncos versus the Lions. This is going to be a great test. This is going to – because the Broncos are coming on. They're playing well. Sean Payton has gotten this team – what is it, 4 straight wins in a row for the Broncos?
Yep.
They have this team rolling. They're playing in Detroit. Dan Campbell is a protege of Sean Payton. Sean Payton coached Dan Campbell when he was with the Giants. So this should be a good matchup. I'm going to go with the Lions because they have a lot to prove given – how they played the last couple of weeks. Hopefully they can get their mojo back.
I'm going to go with the Broncos because I think they're on a roll. Russell Wilson's playing better. They're running the ball. Their defense is better. So I think the Broncos. I'm taking the Broncos.
All right. Our next game is the Bucs and the Packers. This is going to be a good game. The Bucs defense is still legit. It's still pretty strong. I think the main issue is Baker Mayfield. Packers couldn't contain Tommy DeVito, and Tommy DeVito is better than Baker Mayfield. Oh, boy. The Giants may have something. I just don't know. They're actually playing in Green Bay. It's going to be cold in Green Bay. I'm going to go with the Packers this game, even though I want to go with the Bucs. I'm going with my head. I'm going with the Packers.
I'm going with the Bucs because I think they got momentum. And sometimes Baker Mayfield makes good decisions. And when he does, they're a better team. But when he doesn't, they're terrible.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, next game, Jets versus the Dolphins in Miami. This is going to be a huge game for the Miami Dolphins as well as the Jets, but a huge game for Miami coming off of a bad loss last week on Monday Night Football. They have to win this game. You know what? I'm going to go with my heart for this one, and I'm going to probably regret it. I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to say I'm eating. I'm picking up what they're throwing down. I'm eating a Zach Wilson dinner. The sauce, whatever they're feeding us. I'm going to go with the Jets beating the Dolphins this week.
The reason I'm going with the Dolphins and going against you on that one is because the Dolphins had a game last week that should have really won easily, but they didn't come through in the clutch, and I think you got to go back to the drawing board. It's easier to kind of coach somebody when you lose because you're thinking about it. So I'm going with the Dolphins. You're going with the Jets.
They got the Giants and the Saints. They're playing in New Orleans. I think Allen is actually playing for his job. He's one of the coaches on the hot seat. They're not happy that the Saints aren't running away with the NFC South, but they don't have the type of talent, and they had a bunch of guys hurt at the beginning of the year. I'm still not believing that the Saints are a real strong team. This is a game that the Giants can win. I'm going with the Giants.
I'm agree with you and go with the Giants on that one, too, because I think I'm going to ride the bandwagon of DeVito and his agent dressed in black with his hat. I'm going to go with it.
All right. Our next game is the Texans and the Titans. This should be a good game. Texans have a lot to prove. They came off an ugly loss against the Jets last week. I'm hoping they bounce back. They have a chance. If the Titans and the Jaguars lose, they have a chance to actually get one step closer to being in first place in that division. This is a division game they need to win. Let's see if D'Amico Ryans can get his team back on track. I'm going with the Texans.
I agree with you because the Titans beat the Dolphins last week in a game they should have lost, and that might make them complacent. So we're both going with the Texans over the Titans.
All right, the Chiefs and the Patriots, this shouldn't even be a game, even though the Patriots won an exciting game last week. I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Chiefs because of what happened last week. They should have won the game because of a great throw and pass by the tight end. And I heard that play was not even planned, CW. He just did it on his own. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs because of that.
Yeah, 49ers, Cardinals, this shouldn't even be a game, but Kyler Murray is like a living video game, but I'm going with the 49ers.
I'm going with the 49ers. I think they're the best team in football, unstoppable offense, and I think they can keep Kyler Murray in the pocket. So we're both going with the 49ers.
Next game is Commanders versus the Rams. Rams in L.A., Rams are hot. They're a team on fire. I love what Sean McVay is doing. I believe that Ron Rivera's job is on the line. Obviously, new ownership, they want to bring in their own people. I'm going with the Rams.
I'm going with the Rams also. We're both going with them because I don't believe in the Commanders because of Rivera, the coach. And I think that their quarterback, Howell, has kind of gotten worse over the year. And I feel bad because the offensive coordinator came from Kansas City, and I wanted him to do well so he could get a head coaching job. But I think that's, the only way he has hope on that is if Rivera gets fired and he gets elevated to the head coach. So we're both going with the Rams.
All right. Next game is Cowboys versus the Bills. They're playing in Buffalo. It's going to be cold. It's a late game. It's a 4 o'clock game, so it'll be cold. Cowboys coming off two great wins. I think this will prove to everyone if they're legit or not, because I believe the Bills have a better chance because they're still fighting for their playoff lives. I'm going with the Bills.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going with the Bills. I love to go against the Cowboys, and I think that they might get complacent this week, especially after beating Philadelphia a game that they look forward to for a long time. So we're both going with the Bills.
Ravens versus the Jaguars. Obviously, they're saying they haven't declared Trevor Lawrence out. I just don't think if it's a high ankle sprain, I don't see him playing this week. We just talked about the Ravens and their issues. The Jaguars have a good defense, but I just think they have too many things going on that will keep them from playing as well as they need to play to beat the Ravens. I'm going with the Ravens.
Okay, I'm going with the Ravens also because I don't know if Trevor Lawrence will be 100%. And even though he played last week, I still think he was not as effective as he's been. So we're both going with the Ravens.
So last game is a Monday night game. This is a good Monday night game. I don't know if Geno Smith is playing, but Drew Lock has actually played pretty well. Yep. That, you know what? The Seahawks and Pete Carroll may be the home for the disenfranchised, right? Because he's resurrected quarterbacks' careers with that offense. And Drew Lock came in and played outstanding last week. I think they have a chance of beating the Eagles, but if you know how Philly fans are, the whole building is on fire. Losing two games, they're 10-3. I don't think too many teams, like in the Eagles' position would have to worry about a game like this. But I would be worried if I were the Eagles. I'm gonna go with the Eagles because they need a win badly.
I'm gonna go with the Eagles also because they lost two in a row for the first time, and they realized that they got to go back to the drawing board. So just to review everything. Let's see, we're both going with the Raiders over the Chargers. We're both going with the Bengals over the Vikings. You're going with the Colts. I'm going with the Steelers. I'm Broncos and Lions. I'm going with the Broncos. You're going with the Lions. The Falcons and the Panthers. What are we doing the Panthers?
Oh, okay. I'm going Falcons.
With the Falcons. Okay. We're both going with the Falcons in because I don't think the Panthers are legitimate. The Bears and the Browns, we're both. Were you going with the Browns or are you going with the Bears?
I'm going to go with the Browns. I'm on a Flacco train too.
Okay. Want that? Okay. Yeah. We're both going with the Giants over the Saints. You're going with the Packers. I'm going with the Bucks. We're both going with the Texans over the Titans. I have the Dolphins. You have the Jets. We're both going with the Chiefs over the Pats. We're both going with the 49ers over the Cardinals. And the Redskins and Rams, we're both going with the Rams. We're both going with the Bills over the Cowboys. We're both going with the Ravens over the Jaguars. And we're both going with the Eagles at Seattle. There's something else I wanted to say before we get out of here. The Lakers won the in-season tournament, and they say LeBron was acting like it was a big victory, and they wanted to hang it up in the rafters. Your thoughts on the in-season tournament that the NBA had this past week?
I think it was great for the league, especially during the part of time where people really don't pay attention because the NFL is going on. That's the biggest thing, and that – kind of takes over, and it's an 82-game season, so not too many people really pay attention to basketball, NBA basketball around this time, so it gave people something to watch and something to pay attention to. I have another question for you, speaking of the NBA. What is up with Draymond Green? Got a flagrant foul, too, yesterday for literally almost punching Yusef Nurkic from the Phoenix Suns in the face. And this is probably the third or fourth game he's gotten thrown out in a week or within the past 2 weeks. Do you think somebody like Draymond Green should be in the league anymore if he continues to act like this?
Well, I think they should suspend him at least multi-games. I'd say anywhere between 10 and 25. I saw the hit at least five times. It wasn't a graze. It was legitimate. He said he's trying to get him off of him. But he squared and hit him in the face with his fist. That's not appreciated in the NBA. In the past, when people have done that, they've kicked him out for a long time. I mean, I go back in the 80s when they did it to Donovich, the head coach of the Houston Rockets. He was a player. He ran out there. This guy named Kermit Washington hit him and they kicked him out for a long time. Green is not good for the game. He's hurting the Golden State Warriors. They're not going to win without him. And I just think that you need to send a message because he has not gotten that message yet, CW.
Yeah, I just think he's just bad look for the league. You're trying to create an image. We talked about that with Tommy DeVito's agent. It's an image. You're trying to create an image. You don't want – and obviously, you're making billions of dollars and TV money, and you want to continue that gravy train. And so when you have stuff like this, it impacts the money and the people watching.
Well, last question before I let you go, CW. Tommy DeVito, is he going to beat out Danny Jones?
That is a good question. I'll tell you at the end of the season, because if he wins four more games, I'm on the Tommy DeVito bandwagon too.
But if he's 2-2 and plays well.
If he's 2-2, it's not enough sample size. I wouldn't crown him the next starting quarterback of the New York Giants, and I would still be looking for a quarterback in the draft if one presented itself. If he beats my litmus test, it was Daniel Jones's litmus test. If he beats the Philadelphia Eagles, which Daniel Jones did not, if he beats the Philadelphia Eagles, he should be in consideration for the starting quarterback for the Giants next year.
Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. CW and BT, we do this every single Wednesday. We just have a good time in the world of sports. And we want to make sure that you join us each and every week. We're on at 9 a.m. on YouTube on Fridays. So for Ben and Dennis back in the studio, making us sound great. And for Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a great week, ladies and gentlemen. And go Giants.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.